I want more. I want more. Who else's soul repeats that with me this morning? I want more. Raise your hand. We want more. Wow. This series in January called Awake has been absolutely incredible. Amen? I mean, to see what God has done, to hear the stories of what God has done, to experience 21 days of prayer every morning for the last 3 weeks that ended this morning, to see that all of this is a catalyst to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through us. I want more. You know what I'm saying? And so as we go through the rest of this day, and we have ended 21 days of prayer. Of course, we're not going to stop praying. We're just going to be praying more and more and more. But we need to pause for a moment and to acknowledge where everything that we do, why we do, what we do, anything we do, anything that we're about is not about anybody on this stage, not about any giftedness that's in this church, any crew member around us, any family, 100% everything that we are about and everything we do is centrally focused on one name. That name is above all other names. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. So we need to honor him and praise him for what he's done. Man, he's just been pouring out his goodness on us. And we've been studying over the last few weeks, Ezekiel 37. And you see, to remind us just a little bit, God had called his people, the Jews, out of captivity in Egypt. Pray for me. Come on. And for over 100 years, they had been in Egyptian captivity, and God brought them into the promised land. He gave them a land, he gave them a king, and he made them a nation, right? But they turned against God. Sound familiar? In our nation today. And God allowed them to go into captivity once again. And here we have Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army invading Israel, and they had reduced Solomon's temple to mere ashes. They had reduced it to ashes, and they had taken many of the Jewish people back into captivity. They were slaves once again, and this is the condition that Ezekiel was in. This is the space that he was experiencing. This is the season that his leadership was about to shine, amen? And he saw that Israel is dead, but Ezekiel had a vision. Ezekiel had a vision, and in two verses in Ezekiel 37, we see that Ezekiel is carried to a valley full of dry bones. And I want you to imagine this scene with me. These bones were scattered everywhere. They were very white. They were dry. They were dead. Bones that were all over the place, scattered by wild animals, so that there was nothing but miscellaneous bones scattered everywhere, as far as the eye could see. And Ezekiel, for Ezekiel, in verse 11, we see that there's a vision. There's a vision for the nation of Israel, and there's no way that Israel could get themselves out of captivity. Amen? There's no way that we could get ourselves out as a church, out of self-righteousness and the politics that reign so heavy and true in the church today and all the self-righteous motives. There's no way that we can see the sin sick just be delivered in our own strength. Amen? We're very dry, we're white, and he was saying these were like these dead, dry bones in a graveyard, dead in a hopeless situation. But Ezekiel is telling God that, God, you're in charge. God, you're in control. And God, you can do whatever you want to do, and with God, nothing is possible. Ezekiel believed that, and he heard that, and he said, if God wants these dry bones to live, they're going to live. If God wants that dead situation, that sleeper to rise, he's going to do it. Amen? And in week one, you see, talking about awake and awakening, we looked at how awakening begins with an honest assessment of our soul. That we were to be transparent, drop the mask, and to look deeply within and to assess where we are. And to be honest with ourselves. And in week two, we saw the realization that when the people of God come together and we unify, that the atmosphere is incredibly ripe for awakening. And in week three, last week, with Rika, holy moly, woo! Rika spoke about the power of the Holy Spirit and how surrendering to the Holy Spirit is the pathway to awakening. Today, in week four, church, we fight. We fight. Today, I want to remind you that we are at war. Today, I want to remind you that we're not talking about a war in Iraq or the war on terrorism or any other war that you could think about. We are at a spiritual war right now, every day of our lives. And it's time for us to raise our awareness to the reality of what's happening in the heavenly realms and all that's around us and what's fighting for us so that we should fight so other people could experience that. So people could experience the transformation that so many of you have experienced. So many of you that walk through your life and you say, I'm alive, I am free, I am a conqueror, I am a soldier, I'm fighting every breath that I take. We want other people to experience that. We want to be kingdom focused. We want to be mission minded. We want to fight because we are soldiers in an army for a living God. Amen. And so let's look together in 1 Samuel. I'm going to be a little bit excited today because this is going to be a catalyst to our future. This today is going to be calling the army of a living God to rise up together. Not, well, you got that, Ryan. That crew member over there, they got that. Stephen got it back in the back. No, every single one of us rising up, joining arms, shoulder to shoulder so that we can press into the darkness so that we're not on the defensive. So that we're on the offensive. Amen? All right, so turn with me in the book of 1 Samuel while I catch my breath. Chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Let's stand together and absorb the word of God as we stand in reverence and respect of it. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw them, they all fled from him in great fear. I believe, to pause for a moment, we're seeing the church. They know what Satan looks like. He's ready around every corner, ready to pounce. And the church is tucking their tails and running in fear, not willing to take risk, not willing to step up and to do what God has called us to do and said that only He can do, and nothing that the enemy provides us as a temptation, as an obstacle, as a wall will ever overcome the power of an almighty God. In verse 25, now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Here's our key for today. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of a living God? That he should defy the armies of the living God. The armies of the living God. The army of the living God is standing to their feet right now. The armies of the living God are looking at me right now with a little bit more pitter-pat in your pulse, a little bit more thumping in your chest, a little bit more movement in your feet because you're ready to march. You're ready to march forward. An army of God joining arms. Let's join arms today. Let's join arms today. Look to your right and your left and join arms. Brittany, move over there and join arms with somebody. This is how we walk out of this place today, joining arms, shoulder to shoulder, acknowledging that we are the army of a living God. You may be seated. You see, the analogy of the church being the army of the living God is found all over the Bible in several passages of Scripture in the New Testament. And as is the idea that we as Christians are soldiers. You are a soldier. If you've acknowledged Christ as your Savior, you've said yes to Him, and His Holy Spirit has been gifted to you, you're a soldier. You're not a weakling. You're not a wuss. You're not beat down by this world. You are a soldier with wounds that only God can heal, and He wants to use it to give you strength to press on to the next level. Who's ready to go to the next level? You know what I'm saying? Because Jesus, you see, He realized that we were in a spiritual war for the souls of men, for the souls of women, boys, and girls. And in Matthew 16, 18, while talking to the Apostle Peter, Jesus described the war by saying this: "Upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, ancient cities were all built with walls around them, and the walls generally had several gates all the way around. And the purpose of these gates was not to keep people in, but to keep the enemies out. And so where do you think when the enemy attacks, he's going to hit first? The gates, right? And so the best thing they could do is just to shut the gates and gather everyone up behind the walls, and the weakest places was where they were going to be attacked. So when Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, He was talking about the church holding its ground. He wasn't talking about the church necessarily holding its ground against Satan's attack. We're just going to hang in there. Keep fighting. Let's keep them out of here. We're on the defensive right now. We're playing defense, and we're trying to keep them from scoring everything that we've got in here. Let's hold back. Let's just keep. I know it's heavy. I know it's overwhelming, and you just don't have the power. Y'all come help me. No. Instead, He was saying that the gate of hell, you ready for this? The gate of hell would not be able to prevail or stand up against our attacks. All right? With this statement, Jesus was saying to us that my church is to be like a mighty army, beating their chests, aggressively driving back the boundaries of darkness as it extends the kingdom of God to all people everywhere. That is what we're to be. And so today, I tell you, as we wrap up this series, Awake, Church, the bones are starting to rattle. All right? The tendons are starting to come together. The meat is and the flesh is beginning to be on the bones. And we're all in this together. And as those bones rattle, it's time for us to fight and to surge forward. I'm going to say it again. Do you think when the commander is getting all up in somebody's grill and he said, "Are you ready to fight, soldier? Are you ready to get after it, soldier? I'm putting you on the front lines because I believe in you, because I trust you, because I've equipped you. You've been trained. You've been equipped. You're an overcomer. You're a conqueror. You're a soldier. Are you ready, soldier, to go into battle?"
Yes.
There's two of you ready. All right. I'll meet y'all for lunch. And we'll band together, and maybe the rest will join a little bit later. Because here it is. You ready for a service? We got to realize that Jesus is not looking for spectators. Let me say that again. I said that accidentally in the first service. I meant spectators, but I said spectators. That was a Holy Spirit divine little word right there. Spectators. God's not looking for spectators, but He's looking for soldiers. As members in the army of a living God, we've got to be disciplined, dedicated, and obedient. Which reminds me of something that I read years ago, and it's called, "I'm a Soldier." And this should be our war cry. This should be it. This is what we should claim as soldiers in the army of God. And I'm going to do my best to make it through it without falling off the stage. I'm a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer and the word are my weapons of warfare. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army, and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army or at the rapture, or I will die in this army. But I will not get out. I will not sell out. I won't be talked out, nor will I be pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me to teach the children, I am there. If he needs me to work with the students, I am there. If he needs me to help adults or just sit there and learn, I'll be there. He can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I'm not a baby. Oh, I love this. I love this right here. This is where the church needs to rise up and get over themselves. I'm not a baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up because I'm a soldier. Because I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or allure me because I'm a soldier. And Jesus is all I need because I'm not a wimp. I'm not a wimp. I'm in a place of saluting my king, obeying orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom because I'm a soldier. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to because I'm committed. I'm a committed soldier. Somebody said, amen. Let's go. I cannot have. I love it when you clap because I can clear my throat. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I can't be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I can't lose enough to cause me to quit. And if I end up with nothing, guess what? I still win because with Jesus, I've got everything I need. I will win. My God has and my God will continue to supply all my needs because I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather, a little rain cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money definitely cannot buy me. Government cannot silence me. And hell definitely cannot handle me. Because I'm a soldier. See, this isn't for everybody, is it? Right? This isn't for everybody. People ain't ready for this. People not ready. We got to get them ready. I'm a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. I'm a soldier in an army, I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I'm a soldier marching, heaven bound. Author unknown. Like never before, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be on the offensive. We can't afford to sit back and to keep letting Satan expand his territory. Instead, we need to be the ones conquering territory and expanding the kingdom of God. And so this morning, I want to answer a question for you of what's next. I want to share with you what's next for Cove Church, the Chase Campus, because as we end 21 days of prayer and we're praying for an awakening, a tsunami-sized wave of Holy Spirit power to fill this place and every place that our eyes could ever set on.
Amen. Shine the light,
brother. And that we don't look at it and say, well, we're going to stop. We're going to stop all that and just move on into Valentine's Day and talk about Jesus' love. And we'll keep sowing for awakening. Yeah. No. I want to know what. I want to always look at every single one of you, even no matter what problems you face and what you bring to my desk or what you bring to my door or my phone. And you say, this is happening. We need to pray for this. Well, this is happening. I'm still going to look at you and say, what's next? What's next? Because despite the struggle that you're encountering, God still has something that he wants to teach you, something that you need to grow in and grow out of when you're being tested. When the fire comes, you need to let the other fire burn. All right? And so where is this army going? What would I be to say, let's go, cheerleader, and get my pom-poms ready and get you all pumped up and excited to be an army of a living God and say, see you later. I don't think so. So I'm challenging you today. I'm challenging you today. I'm putting a heavy challenge upon every single one of us to join arms and to band together, marching forward on the front lines to see and to believe these things to happen. And so as we do continue to sow for a great awakening, we will lean into our mission of discovering hope and developing our faith and demonstrating love. And we're going to strive for our vision of transforming the Tennessee Valley. We have set some very specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely goals for 2018 that I believe not only are we going to accomplish in 2018, but they're going to be a catalyst for over the next 5 years. And I've laid them out in five categories according to the five purposes of the church. So open up and get ready because you're about to drink from a fire hydrant. All right? And there's going to be a lot of information. You're not going to be able to write it down. So put your pens down and just soak it in and get ready because you're not going to see how it's going to take shape, but you will begin to see pieces of it coming together. And I believe that every single one of you have been called here to be a part of that strategy. All right, and so you ready for it? Ready. All right, here we go. How many firemen we got in here? Volunteer or anything? Oh, we're in trouble. We ain't got no firemen in here. All right, we're not putting this fire out. That's not what I'm talking about. I need help to turn this fire hydrant on. All right, because the Holy Spirit is about to fill you up. All right, some of y'all, I love looking at you. I love being able to multitask and look at you while I'm still able to preach. I am the dude that can multitask. Some of y'all are a little wigged out right now. You're just like, but there's a part of some of you that's just like, woo, what is it? Shut up and just tell me. The number one thing, or the first purpose, is ministry. You see, churches grow broader through ministry. And the first key to ministry I want to talk to and lean in on is our guest. I want to see every person that has walked through these doors over the last year and a half, not just the last couple weeks, to experience around the table. We have provided a platform for every single person. When you walk into a church, you don't know anybody, you don't know what's going on, and you're a little wigged out about some of the things that are happening, but you need some clarity, and you're excited about something that you feel because the Holy Spirit is so heavy in here, and when you're driving down Winchester Road, and it's just this, what's going on? I don't know what it is, but I like it, and I want more of it. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Is that you? You, if you are a guest with us, I know we're not normal and that's okay, is that you will dig deeper with us and go to covechurch.com, click on I'm New, and scroll down to Around the Table logo and click on that and join my wife and I. The next one's February 11th. We do it the second Sunday of every month. All right. The second key is our facilities. We're going to design and implement this year a plan to place directional signage and branding messages around the campus to reinforce the mission and the vision of the church so that when you walk in here, you're just like, bam, that's what we're about. Bam, oh, that's where that is. So that you're not walking here for the first time like, what do I do? Where do I go? You know, but also that you see what we're about. We're always reminding each other like a football team when they leave in the locker room. Oh, when the soldiers are prepared to leave and they slap that rock or the top right there. You see, you get in the picture? You get in the picture? All right. And also, we want to upgrade the children's and student ministry hallways. I told you, I'm just going to give you some tangible things, just some things that just taste a little bit. All right. So that you can see that what you're giving to, not just financially, you physically, what you're giving to has purpose, it has meaning, it has health, and we're sustaining it. We're building a stronger foundation. All right, and the third key to ministry is growth. And I want you to prayerfully consider with me the need for a third service. All right, why? When we look at the first service and it's only about halfway full, remember, we're not about just numbers and sitting rear ends in seats. We're about health. We're about health, and we're about developing health within the body that is already here, but also preparing the way for more people to experience the goodness that we are experiencing. And so here's the reason why. When a service gets to 80% capacity, it's time to expand. All right? It's time to expand. So that means all y'all need to go to the first service. All right? And I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. But pray for us, because we still have room to grow in the first service, but on an average Sunday, we're filling up in this service, right? And so that's what we need to pray for, but also pray with me on this, that by the fall of this year, we are going to begin developing goals and a strategy for a building campaign, all right? That is huge. That is above the mark for some people and what they anticipated over the last year, but who could have ever anticipated the way that God continued to pour and will continue to pour out his blessings upon us, amen? And the fourth key in ministry is leadership development. And I've set a goal, a specific goal, to increase the weekly crew participation by 35%. So that means that 35% of those that aren't serving anywhere are going to be serving by the end of this year. And I believe that we can blow that number out of the water. All right. And so therefore, by expanding our worship team, we need, hey, if you know how to sing, now I'm going to be honest, really know how to sing. All right. If you know how to play an instrument, if you want to use your gifts and your talents back there in the tech team, then come see me. Go see Jan back there. Wave your hand, Jan. Everybody look back at Jan. Everybody don't just listen to me. That's Jan. Say, I want to sing. I want to try out for the praise team. I want to be a part of this. So come on. These all volunteers too, okay? All right, in our first impressions crew, Deborah's not here, but you can come see me or Deborah Williams, all right, and say, I want to make coffee for Jesus. I want to shake people's hands for Jesus, not during flu season. I'll give them an elbow or a fist bump, but I want to greet people. I want people, when they first walk in here, to see that this is the most loving church on the planet. I want to be a part of that. And so be a part of that. Talk to somebody. In Kids Cove, we got some kids. Where was it? Why? There's Tracy. Uh-huh. We got kids everywhere. We got kids everywhere. It's amazing, right? And we got to love on those children's, right? And so the little ones need some just pouring out of love and compassion. And so see Tracy, and for our student ministry team, Stephen ain't ready. He ain't ready. He's not prepared for the growth that's just going to pour out of Buckhorn Middle and Buckhorn High and Lee High. Come on, Lee High's closer than Buckhorn, right? Why are we staying in that mold above Buckhorn and New Market? No, we got to expand the territory and realize that we're going to need more and more in our student ministry. Our prayer team's about to be revamped in March, and you're going to see some radical things happening as we continue to be a praying church. But overall, we want to see health come to our teams, right? Amen. Establishing that ability to serve more people, because we got more people. You know what happened to us over this last year? Do you? Get into my shoes and say, oh crud. We grew by 200 people from this time last year to now, and we need people. We need people. And so, I mean, you think about it, we weren't prepared for that. We weren't prepared for that. So the next wave, we want to be prepared. And so that's why we're developing more and more leaders, and you're going to hear a whole lot more about that in the coming months. We don't want to burn out our current leaders, but instead expand our teams to share the load, which is only going to continue to increase. Amen. Who believes it? Who believes it? Who believes it? If you're struggling, because I've talked to a lot of people have come to me and say, well, I like the environment here. It's kind of like a small church. Sorry about you, but that's changing. We're not a small church anymore. And so we are having to constantly navigate the ways that we're supposed to change and the way that we're supposed to engage and embrace all of you to be a part of this army so that we can move forward. All right. The second purpose is fellowship, because churches grow warmer through fellowship, right? Man, some of y'all been begging me and bugging me. When we gonna do this? When we gonna have that? When God wants us to is the easy answer. But no, with our events is how we create fellowship for you to get to know each other. And we are getting to the size that we can't just, hey, let's have a barbecue out back, because we wouldn't have anywhere to put everybody, right? And so here's the thing. We are creating some specific events this year, and we're going to get consistent with our men's fellowship events, kind of like the women's fellowship events have been created. So we're going to be doing that for the men, and some men are starting to rise up and acknowledge the need to lead that, and they know who they are, and they need to be contacting me this week. You know who you is. And so also, we're going to see more Chase-specific events like Group Link, just celebrating life together, training, fellowship events. But also, we want to continue to celebrate the fact that we are one church with two campuses, and we have a Hampton Cove campus that provides us with resources and people, but also other resources that, man, when we put our minds together and our campuses together, we can have an amazing event celebrating what God's doing in our two different communities, like tonight. I'm telling you, if there's anything that's holding you back, I mean, if you're vomiting or you got the flu, you come down with a fever this afternoon, you can pray and worship in your living room, okay? But, man, a lot of people are like, why do I want to go 25 minutes over a mountain? It's raining. Quit making excuses and get up in there with me at 5 o'clock today for one of the most incredible worship leaders I've honestly ever been blessed to be led by. All right, Mark Swayze and his band, we have given him the service to lead us. And it's always, always phenomenal to be under his leadership. So be there tonight at 5 o'clock. But here's the thing. The celebrate lives that you guys have been used to in the past, where at the fourth Sunday of every month, where we typically used to go over to Hampton Cove, and we started doing some Chase-specific ones, a lot of that's changing. And so you're going to see a lot more Chase-specific fellowship events like, hey, we got all them acreage back there. Not only do we need to be prayer walking over that and what God wants for that, but hey, that's a perfect spot to have a big old honking family camp out. Amen? Amen. And so you're going to see that roll out this year, and also a family day at Tate Farms. I can't wait for that. That's why we named our dog Tate, because I love Tate Farms. And so, not really, that's just where we got him. But, and so you're going to see these things rolling out more and more for us not to be busy, but to create a few specific events to create fellowship, to create more unity and to get to know each other. The third purpose is worship. Churches grow stronger through worship, amen? And this next metric is the most important one. Our salvations and baptisms. I put a number of 25 salvations and 50 baptisms for this year. Who's praying for more than 25? Who's going to join me and pray for more than 25? Well, people started praying already in the first service, because guess what? Some gentleman that we've been praying for came forward and acknowledged that he needed Jesus in his life, and he fell to his knees and said yes to Jesus. Amen. And he accepted Christ. So instead of us just knocking it down and saying 24, let's just say 20 more than whatever number we get to. 20 more. I want more. I want more. And so we will expand on this more. And one of the things that I've been convicted about is seeing the gospel incorporated in every service. The clear gospel in some way, shape, or form, so that when people come in here for the first time, we're not assured that they know Jesus. We want to make sure that they have an opportunity to talk about that. Amen? And so the second key with worship is our attendance. You see, in October, I set a goal to increase combined worship attendance by 50% from 270 at the time to 405. We're already averaging 340. All right, that's a blessing. We're almost a 405, and ultimately, I don't want us to be a church about church growth. I don't want us to get more excited about the number than we do about church health. You know what I'm saying? That we continue to change our perspective, that every single person that walks through here is another blessed soul, that we change our filter to see those people the same way Jesus does, and that we change our ways to this. That every single one of you become proactive when you come in here. That you don't get into the rhythm of, ooh, I'm so excited about church. I am expectant, Ryan. Let's go. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see how the Holy Spirit's going to flow out on us. Well, part of that's for you to come in here and to be proactive. And every service before you leave, that you look around and you at least find one person that you don't know. You don't know. That's one of the beautiful things about 21 days of prayer is that there had been people that have been coming for 2-3 years plus, and they look at each other and they say, hey, my name is, and they realize they've both been coming for a long time and didn't know each other. You never know the friendships that you're going to establish. When you get out of your comfort zone and you look at somebody in the eye today, I challenge all of you to do it today. You're disobedient if you don't do it today, okay? You're being disobedient. This is a word from the Lord for you today that you look at somebody new. But it's just out of my comfort zone. Good, get out of it. And look at somebody and say, awkward. Hey, my name is, I mean flu season, okay? And just start there. Especially with people that aren't comfortable here yet, that don't know what to expect. Because you definitely come in and it's definitely not what most would expect when you come to church. But that you help them engage with this army, especially new people that I hear all the time that have been looking for a church for a year, 2 years. And for some reason, Holy Spirit, they stumbled upon us. And I believe that every person that does that is going to be changed. But we're part of that. And so our attendance, I don't want it to be just about church growth, but instead church health. And then the third element to worship. And I got like a lot more pages in this, but this is the stuff that I felt like putting before you so you could chew on something and see that we're activating this campus more and more and more, and we want you to engage with it. And that's our giving. For us to continue to be kingdom focused and to do all that's happening, because y'all know we need more staff. Did you know we need more ability and more resources to be able to reach more people and to be able to embrace the flood that is happening right now? And so I put a faith number in October of 377,000 for this year. But I'm praying that over the next 2 years that our giving increases by 35% to 508,000. Amen? All right? And so that's what's needed to happen. That's what you're giving to. If you struggle with giving and you're like, well, I don't know really what I'm giving to. Everything I'm talking about today is what you're giving to. But even greater than that, no matter if you put one dime in the basket or 10% or above, that you can be rest assured that we are going to be good stewards with that, and we are going to trust Jesus with that, and we're going to pray about, God, what do you want to do with these finances? Because now Chase, as of October, is completely 100% bona fide on our own budget, okay? And so that means that we can move forward and do more. So the fourth purpose, because I got to move forward, I'm going to keep getting excited, is discipleship. Churches grow deeper through discipleship, you know? And I want to say that every new believer, we got one this morning, is lined up with somebody one-on-one to mentor them, to disciple them, to spend time with them 6 to 8 weeks, and just to help them really get a solid footing to know how to move forward in their new walk with Christ. Amen? And so, guess what? This was a seasoned individual this morning. He was a male. So guess what? Seasoned males that are in here, he needs a mentor. Who's it going to be that's going to spend time with them, checking on them, holding them accountable, and teaching them something we'll provide for you, all right? Who are going to be our disciplers in this place? But also, even though we need more groups right now, we want to do right by all of our new people and all of you by creating the proper leadership for that. And so we have pressed fully into that and started to meet and strategize what that needs to look like. And so we have set a goal for 10 new groups in August. 10 new groups in August. And I want to tell you, while there's going to be one or two groups that may start before them because the need is so high, one group I want to place before you because it's an age that's missing, and that's 18 to 30 years old, but I want us to launch a college age group. I want us to launch a singles group. I want us to launch a college and career type group that we can begin looking at college students and saying, look, Because every church I've been at, this is a weakness. No matter how big the church is or how small it is, they've struggled. All right, we're not going to make excuses anymore. Well, 18 to 30-year-olds are really not in the church anymore. Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to create a dynamic group. I'm believing that it's going to happen this year. Who's with me? That we're going to reach the college age. That we're going to reach the college age, and we're going to look at them, and we're going to provide something for them. All right? I'm not leading that group. I'm not putting myself on UAH or A&M or any other Calhoun. I'm looking for people not only to lead that group, to co-lead that group, but to pour into that group, to love on that group, to grandparent that group, to uncle and aunt that group, and to say, that is my mission. You know what I'm saying? And so that is discipleship. And there's a whole lot more about that, but you'll hear more about it. The fifth purpose is evangelism. Woo! That's what we're all about. Evangelism, outreach, missions. Come on, churches grow larger through evangelism. So here's some big numbers. You ready for it? Yep. You ready? Are any of y'all just soaking wet right now? You just soaking? I know the front row is, but here we go. Easter outreach. Our Easter outreach coming up in just a couple of months that we reach 500 people. All right, 500 people. Yeah, that's right, 500 people. All right, our Easter services, we're most likely, without a doubt, gonna have to go to a third service for just Easter, but that we reach 150 new people. 150 new people that are summer XP outreach. For those of you old school, that's VBS, all right? That we reach 25 new families, not just seeing all of our families and their kids participate, but that together we reach 25 new families. Some of y'all looking at me like, that number ain't big enough. Come on, y'all, you gotta rise up. You gotta stand in your seat right there and look at me and say, that's not enough, raise it. That's not enough, raise it. I don't believe that. What are you thinking so small? You putting God in a box. You know better than that, you risk-taking preacher. Come on. All right? I want y'all to see what God is putting not only in my heart, but so many other people in our fall outreach. Y'all remember the trunk or treat? All right, 450 people. We're praying for 600 people. All right? In our local outreach, what are we going to do? On a consistent basis, what ministry are we going to really pour our efforts into? And you're going to hear a whole lot more about this, but I believe just 5.5 miles down the road is Lincoln Mill, a territory that not many churches are impacting, but there's somebody right smack in the middle of it called Lincoln Village Ministries that is pouring into those families and recreating so many neighborhoods. They're about to tear down a whole nother neighborhood and just pour into that. And I want to challenge you to look more into that ministry. I can't expand on it today, but you're going to hear more about it. But we're going to start consistently, quarterly, focusing on Lincoln Village Ministries, as well as our other partners, of course. We have a regional mission trip for families to West Virginia in March 22nd, something like that. You'll hear more about that next week. Don't worry about that. Just get on board and get excited about it. But internationally, pray with me as we begin promoting and preparing an international mission trip that is Chase heavy, that's Chase specific, that it's us going to Colombia or Costa Rica by next year. All right. And so here's the thing. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. But beyond these goals, there's something else that I want to share with you before we close. And that's just something where my heart is for this place. God is calling us to more. Y'all listen to me. God is calling us to so much more. So much more. Every single one of us in your life should propose the question in every season you're in, God, what's next? What's next? Not, whew, made it through that one. That was a toughie. Let me just coast for a while. I'm exhausted. That you look at your environments, that you look at your circumstances, and instead of getting in the a realm of pity, that you begin asking what? Not why, but what? What, God, do you want to do in the midst of this difficult situation? Or what do you want to do in this environment that I don't feel like I can influence at all? But God, I know that as I surrender and I say, what's next? Because some of you, we gotta ask that question because we're sin sick. And you know what I'm talking about. I deal with it every day throughout the week, people coming to me, experiencing the consequences from their decisions. They're reaping what they've sown. But God wants to redeem that. He wants to redeem you and create in you the ability to be an overcomer and to be a conqueror and to press forward by saying, God, what's next? This is not what brings me my identity. This is not my label. I will not allow people to determine what I will become because my identity is in the one that created me in his own image. My identity is in the one that created me for a dynamic purpose. And the number one purpose is for sweet fellowship with you. And so what's next? God is calling us to more. These things that I've laid out today are just a few things. Will we reach this community for Christ in unique and tangible ways? Will you begin prayer walking your neighborhood? Will you begin getting to know your neighbors? People don't know their neighbors anymore. Will you get to baking and knocking? If you can't bake, just knock. And getting to know people. And here's where I kind of want to wrap up just a little bit. Something that's really heavy on my heart. I never want to see us become this mold of a church where there's a certain type of people that come here and they feel welcome. But when this group of people over here comes, I gave it a shot. You invited me. I can't do it. Because our motto is that people would come as they are because none of us are perfect, but with God, everything is possible. And that we look at all people, whether they're a different race, from a different background, speak good English, no English. We're in Alabama, not everybody speaks good English. But that we get to the point where we see, I was transparent with the first service. I'm gonna be transparent here. And I said it last year, we are way too white in here. We got a couple from different races, and I'm so blessed by them, and they're just as important as everybody else. But I want to look at some of our brothers and sisters that come and hang out with us. They know it's good. They know it's good. But I've really prayed about going to them and saying, just hang out with us for a few weeks. Because the longer you hang out with us, the more like family you're going to become. And you're going to be grabbing some other brothers and sisters to mix it up with us. That you go to your Puerto Rican neighbor and say, join us. That you go to your Hispanic neighbor and say, I don't care if you don't speak English. I'll find somebody that does speak English and can interpret for you. That we don't put walls up, that we don't put a bubble up, that we get out of our comfort zones and to acknowledge that we're never going to be what the church is meant to be because there's so many denominational walls. There's so much racial divide. There's so much tension upon people over the most minuscule things that when we stand before Jesus, we're going to realize we were all wrong. We were wrong about the denominational walls. We were wrong about the racial divide. What is Cove Church going to do when we stand linking arms, shoulder to shoulder, pressing into this community? Are we going to stop and say, get everybody over here? We've got to lean in on this neighborhood. That looks like more like us. We can't. You leave that baby in here. That is a sweet, precious noise. Think what the power of God could do through a few hundred like us joining arms. Truly unified with a purpose. It will not be by myself, a couple staff members, and a few crew members to make the difference. It will be all of us. So as the band comes forward, I invite you to stand with us. And in standing with us, you're in agreement that together we are going to band together as the army of God to experience God's goodness, his greatness, and his glory forever. Because I believe it will happen. I believe that it will happen. Let me repeat that again. I believe that it will happen. I know that this church has taken on a new culture, a different culture, but Jesus is always the same culture. No matter if we come from this background or experience this or that, this is how we grew up in church, or that's how church used to look. The culture is whatever God is providing, whatever he desires for us, and we're to step into that and to embrace that. And the most important thing that I could stand before you today and to ask you is, do you need Jesus? Do you need Jesus? For the first time in your life, would you say, I genuinely, authentically need a relationship with Jesus. I'm not a believer today. I'm not a follower of Christ. I want to be a part of the army, but I'm not a soldier. I'm still a spectator. And God is calling me to be a soldier today. And I need to say yes to him. Now, I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about understanding the gospel. And if that's you, would you come forward and grab the hand of one of our prayer partners in just a moment? Or talk to me and say like Don did in the first service. Don walked forward. We've been praying for him for about 6 months, and some people have been praying a lot longer, that he would see his need for a Savior. And he came forward, tears flowing, and he didn't hold back and said, I need Jesus right now. If that's you, don't hesitate. Come forward, grab our hands. I'm going to ask Brandy to come forward and to stand right here and ask some of our family. Come on, Brandy, get down here. Y'all both come on down here. They've got a huge ordeal going on in their family. And I told her that as a church, we would pray over her. Not all of you have to come forward, but in just a moment, as we continue to worship, would you just reach your hand out? Some of you come and lay hands on them and pray for them. So if you need Jesus, come forward. If you want to be a soldier coming to gather arms and to rise up around another soldier, to communicate to them the encouragement they need as they press into this hard day, this difficult decision-making day tomorrow. I'm not going to give you details. God knows what those are. But whatever your needs are, if you just say, I surrender. I've been a spectator, and I need to be a soldier. I'm on board. I'm grabbing hold of the vision, and I want to press forward with this place. Then you come forward and surrender that. Father, we come to you. We acknowledge your greatness, your power, your glory. Oh, just we want more. Give us more. Just pour out your spirit upon us. Fill us up, Jesus. We want more.